greetings in the name of Christ, our soon coming King. He's coming soon. I'm looking for him, aren't you? He's coming to take us to be with him forever. We will be able to look upon his face. We'll be able to enjoy his presence forevermore. For the last couple of days, I've spoken on the subject of the inspiration and the authority of the Bible. In this lesson today, I'm going to be speaking on the unity and the variety of the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Study to show yourself approved unto God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instructions in righteousness. When Paul admonished Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God, and when he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he was talking about the Old Testament. In fact, it was the Old Testament that Paul preached from. When Paul was preaching to the Berean Christians, they searched the scriptures daily, whether these things be true or not. Paul preached the Old Testament. Peter preached the Old Testament. In fact, there was no other testament to preach. There was no other gospel to preach, except it come from Jesus himself and the Old Testament writers. Two testaments, one Bible. This is what we find when we study God's Word. Despite all the diversity in the Bible, it is impossible to ignore the essential unity found within its pages. This unity is not the results of church dogma. It goes far deeper than that. This unity of the Bible rest on its divine author. This unity is unique among ancient writings, and it is very important for Bible understanding. Perhaps the most important feature is that the story of the Bible hangs together as a consistent whole. Written long before the birth of Christ, the Old Testament points to Jesus' birth, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection as the Savior of the world. Written decades after the ascension of Jesus, the New Testament records the consummation of the Messiah that was anticipated in the Old Testament. In Jesus were fulfilled the deepest hopes of all of God's people, whether they live before Christ or after him. In this sense, one may say that the unity of the Bible finds its center in Jesus Christ himself, predicted in the Old Testament, manifested in the flesh in the New Testament. Within this unity of the Bible is diversity. A portion of the Old Testament is superseded in the New. The author of Hebrews, for example, spoke of the difference between the message of the Old Testament prophets and the revelation brought by God's Son. The thread that gives unity to the Bible is the divine element. The fact that the same God spoke to both Israel and the church, hence the same divine inspiration that marks the Old Testament prophets, marks the New Testament apostles. The unity between the Testaments is a unity of development. In the Old Testament, for example, we find only the seed of the gospel of the Trinity rather than the full explicit teaching of the New Testament, where Jesus and the Holy Spirit are revealed as God. What is foreshadowed in the Old Testament is more fully revealed in the New. This suffices to illustrate the kind of unity to be found in the Bible. It is unity within diversity. Even though today I am focusing on unity, I must also keep the diversity constantly in my mind. The task of the Bible student is to do justice to the unity of the Scriptures without ignoring the element of diversity. Neither element should be sacrificed to the other. The Old Testament itself has much to say about its relationship to the New Testament. Although the Old Testament was very much concerned with the past, it had a forward-looking aspect as well. First, a significant aspect of Old Testament faith was its expectancy of God's activity in the future. This view of the future is optimistic, anticipating material and political as well as spiritual blessings. It presupposed that the God that was active in the history of Israel would again act in the future as he had acted in the past. Second, within this framework of future expectations, there developed a prophetic expectation that God would intervene in the future in an entirely new way. The prophets of Israel introduced both a new pessimism, God would radically judge the nation, and a new optimism, God would provide a new creation and a new salvation. And the timing of God's intervention in human history would be the day of the Lord, the day of vengeance, or simply that day. The person God would send to meet the nation's political and spiritual needs would be the Messiah, perceived as the Son of David, the servant of the Lord. And the place where this renewal will occur would be the land of Israel, especially the holy city. And finally, the people involved would be the nation of Israel. Once exiled, would now be restored and enjoying a new covenant made by God. In the Old Testament period, there arose an expectation that God would intervene in Israel's history to bring about a radical renewal. In the writings of the prophets, both judgment and salvation are portrayed with clarity. The hard realities of life caused many in Israel to look beyond the present age to a new age inaugurated by God. The Old Testament anticipated the new. The New Testament clearly looks back to the old. The New Testament writers firmly believed that the Messiah had come and that the day of the Lord had arrived, and that the people of God were about to be renewed. Oh, hallelujah. My advice to you, my brother and sister, is preach it all, teach it all, because it's all good. It's all inspired by God. I'm going to end the day with a gold nugget.
In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, it reads like this: He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, acted at all times as though he trusted his Father to handle all the situations. Jesus simply took care to obey his Father's instructions, even when he was being reviled and tortured. He left his case in the hand of God. By this submission to the Father, Jesus learned obedience as a man, and the obedience was total. He humbled himself to the depth of the cross. Now, as God, he asks the same of you and me.